let's get started. Our event this morning, a more complete title for it would be An Experiment in Critical Dharma Inquiry. And by critical Dharma inquiry, what I have in mind in traditional terms is Dharma Vicaya, that is the searching, penetrating investigation that has been traditionally so much a part of Dharma study, Dharma practice within the Buddhist tradition, and also Dharmakatha. Dharmakatha is Dharma discourse, Dharma conversation, Dharma talk, in the sense of individuals sharing their own efforts, this is my understanding at least, sharing both their successes and failures at realizing the truth of the Dharma in their own experience, realizing in their own experience what they've come to understand through the process of Dharma Vicaya. So we're going to try to do some of both. The Dharma Vicaya part will be in the morning, the Dharmakatha part in the afternoon. You may be familiar with the notion of Dharmakatha, if not the term, at least the idea from the story of Anuruddha and his colleagues who once a week would break their silence and sit around enjoying Dharmakatha often late into the night, I believe the story says. And the other crucial part of the title is this word experiment. And I wanted to say a little bit about what is packed into that word. By experiment, I didn't have in mind something that's never been done before. Quite the contrary, we have a very venerable tradition that we're following here. Rather, what I mean by experiment is a practical testing, a testing of what it is that we think we know, a testing of it in our actual experience and in a communicative process, an interactive process, one with another. That's why the Dharmakatha is as important as the Dharma Vicaya. So it's a practical testing. We could understand it as an exercise in open-minded exploration. And by open-minded here, I mean not just the usual sense of that term, although that's quite important as well, but maybe open-ended as well as open-minded. It's practice for developing skill in what we might think of as the method of proper inquiry. And we might just pause for a minute to think about, well, what is right or proper inquiry? What we're looking for is an effectively transformative practice or method, one that is critical, that's discerning, that's reflective, but above all, that's actually transformative, that changes who we are, helps us become more what we're capable of being. But there's potentially a problem here, because the very nature of criticalness, of discerning, has built into it a tendency to be contractive, even divisive. And so we need to be aware of that potential danger. And the challenge in what I would understand as right inquiry is to develop a critical perspective, a critical method of inquiry that broadens rather than narrows, that's constructive rather than destructive, and that engages rather than isolates. It would be an approach, a method that stimulates and encourages our sense of fascination and understanding of the Dharma, fascination with understanding of the Dharma, rather than one that lodges us defensively in an embattled sense of premature closure. There's some jargon for you. To avoid the embattled sense of premature closure. Maybe I should turn that into an acronym. Yeah, and above all, it's one that leads us in ever deeper into our own realization of the Dharma in our own personal experience. And maybe this is a good point to remember that very apt summary of the advice to the the Collins that Stephen Collins, one of your British Buddhologists, came up with. He said that the point of the advice of the Collins is not make up your own truth, but rather make truth your own. And there's a very crucial distinction there that I think gets at some of the sense of discernment and criticalness that I'm advocating here. And I just want to point out that it's this spirit of critical dharma inquiry that lies very much at the heart of our vision, certainly my own personal vision of Dharmapala College, which is a much larger and ongoing experiment in this direction, and hopefully we'll be able to give you a little bit of a taste of that this morning. And Kalyan Prabhu just mentioned that there are some flyers that you can pick up on the way out of other Dharmapala College events. But today, this morning, our topic is conditionality, pratityasamutpada. And I'm sure we're all very aware of the Buddha's advice to Ananda to be wary of any premature understanding of this key Dharma teaching. So we've got a very, very big topic here, a very substantial task to come to terms with, and obviously there are very real limitations to what we can expect to do in this format, in this limited time available. So I thought it might be useful to just point out what I would suggest our goal this morning is, a more limited, realistic goal. Basically, we want to begin by working at the Shrutamayi level of engagement, of understanding. If you remember the three levels of understanding, Shrutamayi, Chintamayi, and Bhavanamayi. And the first level, the Shrutamayi level, is where we gather information and begin to take that in, drawing on the sources, traditional, contemporary, that are available to us. And that's going to be our job, that of myself and the other panel members, is to report back to you some of what we've learned looking into this teaching, perhaps a bit more deeply than some of you have had an opportunity to do. And the idea is to give you more to work with at the subsequent levels, the level of realization, the level of reflection, and then the level of realization in terms of that threefold model. So we want to try to give you more grist for the mill that works at refining an ever better and ever deeper understanding of this key notion. I should be clear that our goal is not to convey some proper party line. Far from it. That would actually encourage the very sort of premature closure that the Buddha is counseling Ananda against. Were it so simple, it would be nice if we could just have someone tell us the way things are. Well, the Buddha certainly did that, but we've seen that that's not quite enough. No matter how good what we're told is, the real task remains, or really only begins at that point, the task of realizing that in our own experience. So the only transformatively useful understanding then is one that opens the Dharma up in a way that actually succeeds in liberating us from our own individual and cultural limitations. And the only way we can begin that process is by exploring the experience that others in our tradition, going right back to the Buddha himself, by exploring their experience and their reports of their own experiments with trying to make this understanding effective. So beginning at the Shrutamayi level, the first thing we need to recognize is that where we are today as heirs of a rich and varied tradition is in a very peculiar position, because we're both blessed and cursed by a wealth of a plethora of views, a plethora of reports of different Buddhists' experience in coming to terms with this key notion of conditionality. We have both canonical and commentarial expressions, understandings of Pratityasamutpada. We have traditional understandings, contemporary understandings. There's no shortage of different ways to come at this teaching. One's reminded of the Mahayana notion of the 84,000 Dharma doors. I'm not sure there's quite 84,000 different ways to understand conditionality, but there certainly are a number, and some of them, as we'll see today, can come across as being mutually inconsistent or incompatible. And so our challenge, individually, your challenge, not just ours up here on the platform, but even more your challenge, is to take in as deeply as you can the variety, the richness, the diversity of explanation in the tradition, and then try to come to terms with that. And it's not easy. Certainly isn't for me. And I think we've all encountered this somewhat sinking, overfeeling sense of, well, just can't you tell me the simple, short version and leave it at that? But I'll warn you, we're not going to do that today. We'll try to be brief, but I'm afraid we won't be simple. So the first effort then is to survey the field, and we'll begin by individually giving you a few pointers as to what we've found useful in our own efforts, and then hopefully inspire, incite, provoke you into deepening your own reflection. The structure of our experiment this morning is, for the overall morning, we have five presentations. We'll begin with Subhuti, who will tell us something about his own understanding of Pratityasamutpada as a way of practice. Then we'll go to Sakamati, who's going to review some of the early sources for the teaching of conditionality in the Pali Canon. And we'll have a pause then with questions and comments from the floor. Hopefully we'll have about a half hour for that before the tea break. And we'll have our tea break. I'll ask you to please try to return as promptly as possible so that we can get started for the second part of the program, which will involve three more presentations. First from Vajradashini, looking at a very contemporary understanding of conditionality, one that is grounded in Western systems theory, but also grounded in a long tradition of understanding Pratityasamutpada in a long tradition in East Asia, especially a very influential one. And we'll move on then to my presentation, which will look at the current response among some Japanese Buddhists, very influential Japanese Buddhists, reflecting back on their own history of incorporating this doctrine of conditionality and its associate teachings, Buddha nature, Tathagatagarbha, and some distinctly Japanese understandings, the Hongaku teaching of original enlightenment, how these teachings are now being critically reviewed in the context of Japanese Buddhism and Japanese society more broadly, interestingly. And then we'll culminate with Padmavajra, who has promised to bring us dispatches from the mythical dimension, which is blissfully free, he assures me, of bullet points. And I hope everyone had a chance to get a copy of the handout that has the bullet points for the other talks, if not for Padmavajra's, and maybe that'll make it a bit easier for you to follow along. But let's move on, and we'll begin then with Subhuti's presentation.